The real act of discovery is seeing with new eyes. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. The real act of discovery is seeing with new eyes. We were just discussing with Stefan Stressley in Switzerland this morning about the classes that he is teaching and the students that he's teaching at Migros in the department store there in Switzerland. He is one of their regular trainers in positive thinking and positive living, and he is a former president of the University of Healing here. And the students that he has are lots of fun, he says. And he says what he loves is their naivety, their innocence. They take the principles that he tells him, which are universal principles, and they apply them immediately. They apply them in their life in every positive, good, and beautiful way. Now, while they do this, what's happening to them? Well, while they do this, what they're experiencing is the fact that everything can work out so perfectly for them. And, of course, that's just the way it works out. Everything works out so perfectly for them because they don't realize that it has to take time, which it doesn't have to take. But we think it has to take time. Now, how does it have to take time? Well, it takes time from switching from the point of view that it is non-existent to the point of view that it is existent. All the world is our reflection. And so, as we look out in the world, we see who we are. Now, if you are with a lot of people who are poor, then you are poor. But you say, a lot of rich people go and visit the poor people and give them money and things like that. Well, that's because the rich people are so poor. If the rich people would see the poor people poor, then the poor people would always be rich like them instead of having them be poor. You see, it's a poor... What are you looking at?
When the rich people would see the...
If the rich people would see the poor people rich.
Oh, okay.
Did I not say that? No. Oh, thank you. If the rich people would see the poor people rich, if they see them poor, that's correct. If the rich people see the poor people poor, then the rich people are poor.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if the rich people see the poor people rich, then the poor people are rich. Now, the rich people go in there and they have a poor spirit. They remember where they came from. Yes. They remember when they were poor. They remember when they were struggling coming up from nothing, when they sat on crate boxes in their dining room, in their kitchen, if they had a dining room and kitchen, when they were first married, and how poorly they started out. And they understand and they have compassion with the poor people. Well, what a bunch of garbage. You don't have compassion with the problem. You don't have compassion with illness. You don't have compassion with poverty. You don't have compassion with problems. You don't have compassion with bad relationships. What you do, you not only don't have compassion at all, you see it done. There is no compassion or lack of compassion. You don't help a poor person be rich by seeing them poor. You don't help a sick person be well by seeing them sick. When I go and visit the hospital wards, and I do this quite often, as I go in, I say to the people, "You're whole and perfect." And they say, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Hey, I'm a practitioner. It's my work to see you whole and perfect. It's my work to treat for you and to make my prayer for you and say, I see you whole and perfect." Jesus said, "Ask and it's done unto you," you know, whatever it is. He didn't put any limitation on it. Be rich, be healthy, be wealthy, be happy, be everything. You know? And so this is what we must do. And Stefan was doing this, and he was so pleased with the results because the students in his first sessions, he has a number of sessions, the students in his first sessions have miracles happening in their life constantly, constantly, constantly. Change is taking place. Their relationships are better. The people are better. Their life is better. Everything is better. And then I said to Stefan, Stefan, how's your world? Well, Stefan, Stefan, how's your world? Oh, perfect, wonderful, fantastic, glorious. I said, now believe that. Don't go around telling people appearances. You tell others not to tell people appearances, but you tell people your appearances. Don't do that. Now, but Herb, you're my counselor. Okay, that may well be. But I want to counsel you into the appearance you want. Now, if you want me just to sit and listen to a bad talk of limitation, then that's okay. I don't hear a thing. I got my hands over my ears. But if you want to talk to me about what you'd like to experience, that's great. But nobody understands me. No, he didn't say that. People say, nobody understands me. Nobody understands me. And you see, when people say that, that means they do not want to change. They do not want to have wholeness, wealth, abundance, relationships, goodness, and all that good stuff. They don't want that. And they don't get it. Oh, they get a little here and there. They get a little crunch here and there and a little something here and there. But they don't want it. Stupid, isn't it? Just utterly stupid. So now, what is it that you're going to do? What is it that you're going to do? Are you going to see the world differently? The act of real discovery is seeing with new eyes. Can you see with new eyes?
Yes.
And how do you see with new eyes? You see with new eyes by looking at it with a new attitude. Okay. Sylvia, would you be happy if you had a little house with a white picket fence around it, and a little garden out in front of flowers, and in the back a little garden of veggies, and you lived in that little house all by yourself, and you had everything you could want. You had your computers, you had your this and that, and you were living in that type of an environment. And I don't want you to answer me, but you say, oh, that would be so wonderful. That'd be so nice to have my little house with the picket fence around it and my own car and my own this and my own that. I could come and go as I wished, and I was doing everything as I wished, and wonderful. And I say, well, Sylvia, if you really want that, you can have it. If you really want it, you can have it. But you don't want it. Because if you really want it, you can have it. But you don't really want it. And you don't really get it. Because you don't really want it. Now, when are you going to want it? Well, when it really is something delightful to you in your experience. I say, Sylvia, what is it that is the most important thing in the world to you? What's the most desirable thing in the world to you? What's the most exciting thing in the world to you? And Sylvia would say, I really don't know. And this is the correct answer. She really doesn't know. Ellen, what would happen if she knew?
It is done.
It's done. But you see, so long as you really don't know, you haven't got it. Now, Ingeborg, what's the most exciting thing that you could think about in your life? And if you want to answer, you can. But the thing is, what would be the most exciting thing in your life? Would the most exciting thing in your life to be living in a body that is whole and perfect, that is vital, dynamic, and young, to be here with the philosophy and here with the organization and being a meaningful part of the whole thing, and even to be writing books and to be, yes, you shake your head, yes, and to be doing all these good things? Well, you can't have it until you do it. I told Stefan, when you learn to write, the difficulty in learning to write is everything you write you think is wonderful. And it should be. Mozart got to that point. But many other composers, remember the pictures? They throw away, they crumple up their composition and throw away. It's good stuff. Stuff that other musicians would have loved to have written anything, even so that he didn't accept, you know. But you have to be able to discard your children, your thoughts, and throw them away until you come out with the most beautiful children, the most beautiful thoughts, the most beautiful ideas and compositions. And you see, this is what it's all about. Now, when you're ready to live in your perfection, when you're ready to live in your ideal, whatever your ideal may be, when you're ready to live in it, then you'll experience it. Now, Ellen says, I want to live as a spiritually illumined being, or a spiritually illumined master, or spiritually illumined, period, you know. I want to live spiritually illumined. Ellen will never live spiritually illumined as long as she allows the problems of other people to disturb her. I say, Ellen, you're the boss. When you give instructions, say, go and break the lawn. And are you ordering me about? No. I'm just the boss, and I'm giving you your next direction of what is to be done here. Well, I know what's to be done here. Well, that's fine. But I have to tell you what my priorities are because I'm the boss. Now we mow the lawn. Now we rake the lawn. Now we go out and pick up sticks. Now we take care of the mailing list. Now we get the practitioner's letter out. Now we do... I'm the boss. I set the priorities on these things. Now, do you want to be the boss? And you say, oh, no way. But you see, Ellen must create her world instantly following her directions as the boss without needing any explanation as to why, not how, but why they must do it. If they want to know how, she tells them how, but not why, never why. A boss never gives why. Now, I want you to do this in this order so that we can have this for the next order so we can have this. Why tell them that? Do you know that some of the greatest manufacturing successes of this world have been done because they have given different jobs to different companies in different parts of the world to produce different pieces for the end product? And the companies around the world had no idea what they were producing these products for. They had no idea what these gears were for and what these devices were for and the pistons and the rods. They had no idea that it was going to be for a Bentley, you know, or a Jaguar or a Ford. They had no idea. But they did their job. And they did their job beautifully to standard and sent it in, and it was perfect. Now, they could have done that on site. But the thing is, these other companies have people who are staffed just to do that. On site, they did the assembly, and on site, they did the final makeup to make sure that the product was exactly what they wanted. Now, if I have to explain to each one of you why I'm sending these parts out to be done in various places, I'm wasting my time. The fact is, here come the parts. They're all ready. Now you assemble them. You know. And, well, who made them? What difference does it make? Did it come from China? Were they using slave labor, you know? That's none of your business. You say, if you want to have anything about this, you say, these parts are all in divine order. However they were manufactured, however they were put together, it was all in divine order. Could there be slave labor in divine order? No! So you just say, everything is in divine order, and get your bloated nothingness out of the way of judging. Everything is in divine order. Could you bring into your world something that's not in divine order? Sylvia, could you go into the bank and put a gun in their face and say, give me your money?
No.
And what would we do if you brought the money to us?
Well,
and we knew that you robbed a bank. We'd say, Sylvia.
Well, you have to take another person.
We'd say, well, that's why it's so ludicrous for you. Yeah. Sylvia, take the money back. And Sylvia would say, but I got it. They didn't catch me. Sylvia, you caught yourself. You cannot have anything to do with stolen money. But it's just money, you know, and it ain't there anymore. Now it's here, you know. And no, you can't. You know, a thief's Moll, that's a thief's girlfriend or wife, he comes home with a bag of diamonds and diamond rings and stuff, and his wife says, ooh, 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 how wonderful. You know? She tries these things on. And he says, yeah, I just robbed the jewelry store. And she says, oh, but this is so beautiful, it's so beautiful. She doesn't care. You know what I mean? Yeah. She doesn't care. So therefore, she's part of the problem. She's a robber too. She is dealing with stolen property. You follow me? And that's why the fences of this world are the most miserable beings in the world. A fence is someone who takes stolen property and sells it. And you see, the real act of discovery is seeing with new eyes. And when you see with new eyes, you don't have to rob anybody, you don't have to take from anybody, but you do have to see them in the light of who you are. You see the parts coming from around the world as a wonderful tool, and all in divine order. What wonderful thing! And you see the final product all in divine order. You see your relationship all in divine order. You see your writings all in divine order. You see your little picket fence all in divine order. You see your your ability to have a perfect body, spirit, mind, and body, all in divine order. But you see, as long as you go around, anybody goes around, thinking their body is not perfect, thinking they got illnesses, thinking they got problems, thinking they got to go to the doctor every 10 minutes, well, forget it. You're for sick bay, as they say in the Navy. You're for the hospital. You're for problems. You're not whole and perfect, and you never will be whole and perfect until you call yourself whole and perfect, and until you mean it. And you will not have your dreams until you know your dreams are real for you. When you just say, I wish, I wish, I wish, forget it, you know. There's no way you could ever have it. When you know that you're, everybody who works with you here is an ideal person, and that you have the ideal person. Now, Ellen is going through a great, great tragedy right now. We're having the annual, 30th annual celebration in July, and Ellen is looking for a cook. She's looking for someone to cook for that week, for that group of people, about 20 people, and she, who are going to be here for the week seminar, And so she's searching here and searching there, and it just happens that she talks to a major cook in Switzerland who is possibly available at that time. And she says, I need a cook. You know, do you want to come and cook for us, you know? Or at least send me your recipes. And see, she's searching, searching, searching. Now, if Ellen would just get her big, fat nothingness out of the way and say, what?
I have the perfect chef, the perfect cook.
Ellen Engelberg?
Yes, I have the perfect cook.
Great.
It's done. I have the perfect cook.
Then shut up.
Period.
It's done.
Yes.
Once it's done, you don't go around saying anything. In fact, you shouldn't say anything before it's done.
Yeah.
Because if you put that you need a chef, then people are going to say, you are without a chef. You don't have. And you can't have as long as you don't have. And as long as you don't have, you won't have. But when you do have, then it's done. But can you understand how the principle works? Can you understand how important the principle is? Can you see the real act of discovery is seeing with new eyes? And when you see with new eyes, hey, it was there all the time. It's there all the time. We were looking for someone to help us do some work on our property, and our neighbor turned out to be able to do it. We were looking for someone to be our plumber. Our neighbor's a plumber, but never available. But that's okay. We were looking for a dog for my brother, and our neighbor had it, you know. Beautiful little Jack Russell Terrier. And Anita, silly Anita, comes here. She's just beginning to be active in the courses and really be being a monk on the property here for a while. And she says, I'd like to have horses to ride. I would love that. And the neighbor had a bunch of horses there and said, ride them all you like. You know? And what does that say? When we put the cause in motion, blasé, you know, without panic, without feeling that it's so important, just put it in motion. I have the perfect chef. Yeah. We have the perfect people attending our special School of the Master seminar, and the School of the Master seminar is going to be wonderful. There's going to be a lot of exciting stuff in there. We're going to be doing a lot of exciting things. We're going to have some miracles taking place, yeah, because the third hour of our meditation is going to have a special program with it that's going to change a lot of people's minds and hearts and really do some fantastic things. And we'll tell you more about that later, after the seminar. Not before, because that's my coup de grace. Yeah. So, remember, the real act of discovery is seeing with new eyes. And are you ready to see with new eyes? Well, if you are, then get busy and see with them now.
Yes.
So, know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.